Joseph Charles Philpott, 1802-1869. Biographical note. Joseph Charles Philpott was born at Ripple, Kent, where his father was rector, on September 13, 1802. Educated at Oxford University, he was elected a Fellow of Worcester College, and appeared to have a brilliant scholastic career before him. But the Lord's purposes being otherwise, he was brought into solemn concern spiritually and led into a deep and gracious understanding of the truth. He first preached in the established church at Stadhampton, Oxfordshire. In 1835, however, he was constrained, for the truth's sake, to sever his connection with the Church of England and to resign his curacy and his fellowship. The letter to the provost stating his reasons was published and went into several editions. The same year, he was baptized by John Warburton at Allington, Wilts. The rest of his life was spent laboring among the strict Baptists. For 26 years, he held a joint pastorate at Stamford, Lynes, and Oakham, Rutland. Though of a weak constitution, he also preached to large congregations throughout the country, especially in London and in Wiltshire. His preaching was marked by clear views of gospel truth, an ability to set forth the deepest truths in a simple manner, a wealth of similes from nature to open up and explain the things of God, and a clear discernment of the vital distinction between a mere profession of Christ and a true saving knowledge of Him. For over 20 years, he was editor of the Gospel Standard, where many of his sermons first appeared. Here he ably contended for truth and refuted error, and in his reviews, addresses and meditations maintained a remarkably high standard, both literary and spiritual. Ill health made necessary his removal to Croydon for the last 5 years of his life. Here he died on December 9, 1869, and was buried in Croydon Cemetery by his friend, Francis Covell. Preface. Ever since the fall of Adam, God has raised up in succession throughout the various ages of the world, men who should be His ambassadors to declare to their fellow men His eternal truth and unfold His counsels of old. Isaiah 25 verse 1, immediately after the fall, God came Himself and declared to our sorrowing first parents that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head, and this was the first discovery of His everlasting gospel to sinful mankind and the now benighted and stricken world. Not only was the way of salvation thus disclosed, and to be declared throughout the ages to come by men chosen for the purpose, but the sinful and guilty state of mankind, and the solemn consequences of the fall, were also to be set forth. Hence we soon find Enoch, the seventh from Adam who walked with God, prophesying against the abounding wickedness and saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment." Jude 14-15. Then followed Noah, Moses, and the prophets of the Old Testament, preaching the wrath of God against iniquity and the coming of the promised Messiah, who also, when He came in the fullness of time, began to preach the gospel and sent forth His apostles for the same purpose. So it has pleased God throughout the ages by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 21, and the Lord Jesus, now exalted on high and having received gifts for men, has to the present day, in varying measures according to His own will, given prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4 verse 8-12, men taught by the Holy Spirit and sent by Him into the work, have preached to their fellow men the solemn condition of fallen mankind and the only remedy and way of escape in the person and work of Emmanuel, the Son of God in their nature. It has been so in our favored land, perhaps more than in any other nation upon the face of the earth. Oh, the thousands of faithful sermons that have been preached within the coasts of Britain! Yet how sad and solemn this makes the present backsliding condition of the nation, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Luke 12 verse 48. What a fearful state we have fallen into, upon whom so much preaching of the truth has been expended. How many pulpits in the land from which the truths of the everlasting gospel were proclaimed in days past, are now become the means of disseminating grievous errors. How many pulpits from which the Bible was once held forth as being fully and verbally inspired by the Holy Spirit, are now invaded by modernism with its destructive criticism, which is nothing better than religious infidelity? How many pulpits in the Church of England from which the blessed truths of the Gospel were at one time expounded, are now made the medium of reintroducing much of the erroneous teaching of Rome from which they were largely purged at the Reformation? How many pulpits also from which the truth is still in a measure declared, have sunk into formalism and lack of power of the Spirit that accompanied the Word in days gone by? If we add to these evils, the increasing return to popery, the prevalence of infidelity, and the consequent immorality and crime which abound in the land, we may well say, woe, woe to England, to Britain, except she repent and turn again to the Lord. Well, in such a day as this, it is encouraging to know there is yet a little remnant who appreciate and desire to possess faithful sermons preached by the true servants of God in better times. We place high among these the recorded sermons of the late Mr. J.C. Philpott, who was brought to a saving knowledge of the truth in his early days, and being called to the work of the ministry by the Holy Spirit, was blessed with the particular gift of clearly opening up the Scriptures. A gracious experience of the truth in his own soul led him to insist upon the necessity of a similar experience in his hearers, and his sermons were highly prized by the people of God who were favored to hear him. They have since at various times been published and have been greatly esteemed by the lovers of truth in succeeding generations. We therefore welcome this new serial issue of such valuable expositions of truth, and trust that they may yet be given a wide circulation and be made a blessing to many in this day of abounding error and evil. We are indebted to Mr. Watts for undertaking the labor of publishing a new edition in such a time as this, and pray that the power of the Holy Spirit may attend the reading of the sermons in the hearts of many. S. F. Paul. October 1965. To enable these sermons to be issued as individual booklets and subsequently to be bound together in volumes, it has been necessary to follow the printer's instructions regarding the number of pages allotted to each sermon. This has necessitated slight abridgments in some instances, and in others the insertion either of a hymn, as after sermons numbers 3 and 4, or an extract from another sermon, as after sermon number 5.